Dithering Heights by Ken Whitmore.
Ha ha! Oswald, dearest boy, my favorite juvenile, welcome to Thornfield Heights. Come in, come in, come in. Oh, the poor lad, you're absolutely soaking. Look, pools are forming at your feet. Very pools.
Yes, I know, Jimmy. I just walked 5 miles.
5 miles?
From the village pub.
Now, don't exaggerate. The Hangman's Arms is no more than 3.
Well, it felt like 5 to me, tramping over bogs and fells through dark yellow fog. I kept bumping into ruddy great sheep and rolling into ditches, damn it.
Poor lad, the things we do in the name of art. Come this way.
Art? Is that why I'm here? Look, Jimmy, I demand to know why you've dragged me up to the wilds of Yorkshire. And why are you dressed as a Regency squire, for God's sake?
Questions, questions, all will be explained. Come over to the fire and dry off. Did you bring no luggage?
I left it down at the Hangman's Arms.
Well, we'll nip down and pick it up. By and by, I can't have a nice clean actor without a toothbrush, what?
So what is this place?
Hmm?
Oil lamps, giant cobwebs, dust sheets. God, it's just like old Miss Havisham's house in Great Expectations.
Shrewd guess. Shrewd guess. Wrong book, but quite warm.
Does this mausoleum belong to you?
Well, pro tem, you know, pro tem.
Jimmy, what's this all about?
There's no mystery.
No mystery. You send me one of Trotter's notorious telegrams. London is finished. Catch first train north. Magnificent engagement. Bring script to Jane Eyre. No mystery. But I'm so hungry for a part, I'll even work for Jimmy Trotter Productions. So I hock my banjo to pay the fare, and 8 hours later I find myself in that spooky part of that godforsaken village. And it's another thing. Go to the village pub, you said. Never told me what it was called, did you? Give me a ring on arrival, you say, and I'll come and collect you. Damn it, Jimmy, I've been ringing you every half hour since 7 o'clock.
Yes, my phone seems to be kaput. I'm sorry about that.
I mean, really, Jimmy.
By the way, it's under the bed if you want it.
No, I've just been up against a dry stone wall.
I am talking about the telephone.
Under the bed? What on earth for?
This place has no trace of the 20th century, and I want to keep it that way.
Oh, Jimmy, please, come clean. What is all this about?
Well, quite frankly, if you're sure you've finished bleating, you have. Good. Well, you know I was on tour with my scintillating production of Wuthering Heights, the musical?
That.
Ah, see, it was a natural for Broadway.
What happened?
We closed in Bingley. In short, we ran out of cash in Keighley. Creditors were zooming in from all sides like snuff at a week. In short, I had to cut my losses. In short, moonlight flit.
You did a bunk?
Stole away in my pantechnicon.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't exactly my pantechnicon, but it was full of all my props and costumes and sound equipment.
Huh?
Well, they weren't precisely my props and costumes. Well, anyway, there I was, trundling along in the dawn, when I passed this place and the big signboard outside. To let. Arsene. It was like the beckoning finger of fate. What cozier corner to lie low till the hounds have gone baying over the hills. So, I jammed on the brakes, humped all the Wuthering Heights gear inside here, and then drove hell for leather into Skipton and sold the pantechnicon.
What? You sold somebody else's pantechnicon?
Well, damn it all, I was skint. And then, when I'd sold it, I tootled straight off to the estate agent and rented this little nest for 6 months. Cash on the nail. Got it for a song, too, because there are no mock cons. It hasn't been touched since, about the Battle of Waterloo. Except for some reason, there are mirrors on the bedroom ceilings.
Mirrors? What for?
Can't imagine. Anyway, when I walked back in here, I got the shock of my life. You see, I'd left all the props scattered about there. Copper lanterns, pewter plates, rushlight holders, old iron fire dogs. I hung those paintings on the wall. Do you recognize him? Heathcliff. Cathy Earnshaw.
Oh.
So the rats wouldn't make a meal of him. And when I walked in, it was like making my first entry in the musical. I tell you, Ozzy, it was so lifelike I nearly burst into the opening number. And during the next few nights, sitting here with a bottle, by the way, I laid in a superb cellar, I got to ruminating. Why waste this wonderful set on an audience of rats and spiders? They wouldn't appreciate it any more than Bingley did. Then slowly the most brilliant plan unfolded. One of Trotter's best, Ozzy.
Go on.
The Bronte Weekend.
The Bronte Weekend?
Yes. A weekend school for lady culture vultures. A place where they can breathe in the authentic Bronte fragrance and act out the roles of their favourite heroines. This house is only 7 miles from Haworth Parsonage, you know, as the crow flies. Now, take a look at this.
Now, what is it?
My prospectus.
Ah.
Now, listen. Ladies, are you cheesed off with the bread-and-butter world of the 1980s?
Oh, dear.
Then retreat, ladies. Retreat down the misty corridors of cobwebbed time to the great age of tempestuous passion. You have read the heart-stopping story of Jane Eyre, the tragic tale of Catherine Earnshaw of Wuthering Heights. Now play the parts yourself. Opposite are Rochester and Heathcliff, depicted by distinguished equity card-carrying actors. Act out tempestuous scenes from the torrid novels. Speak the tongue the Brontes wrote. Live en famille with your dark heroes. Full board for 3 days, £75. Special rates for parties, wigs and costumes provided free of charge. What is so amusing?
You seriously expect any takers?
Takers?
Yeah.
Dear lad, I have been inundated, especially from America.
Oh.
The first party was due at lunchtime.
From America?
No, from Leamington Spa, actually. The Leamington Spa Ladies Literary Supper Club.
Well, where are they? It's gone 10 o'clock.
Lost in the fog, no doubt. Still, it gives you time to slip into the role of Mr. Rochester. I play Heathcliff, of course.
Rochester? Me? Oh, no.
You said you were hungry.
I'm not so hungry. I play charades with a set of old maids. Damn it, I've just been touring in Ibsen.
Don't be so snooty. Godfrey Binks has played Pinter at the National, and he isn't turning his nose up.
Godfrey Binks?
Lord knows where he's got to. Swallowed up in the fog with the ladies of Leamington.
Who's Godfrey Binks?
He's playing old Joseph. Sanctimonious family retainer at Wuthering Heights.
Binks. Binks?
Oh, you must know Binks. One of the old barnstormers, and he plays a perpetual police constable in one of those eternal television series.
No, I don't think I've ever seen him.
Neither have I come to that, but he's highly thought of. I was damned lucky to get him. He's away filming most weekends. Show him some respect when he gets here. Touch of flattery wouldn't go amiss. Now, come up and get changed. Bring that lantern.
Yeah.
I have got the grandest pair of silver buckled shoes for you. And a plum-coloured swallow-tailed coat.
Hello. 309 to control. 309 to control. Do you read me? Over. Hello, Stanley. Receiving you loud but unclear. Yes, it's Douglas Fanshawe. I'm just reporting in. I'm staking out Thornfield Lights. I have just entered the premises and I'm now closing the door. Mrs. Tattersall thinks this place has started up again as a disorderly house. If I can catch the madam and a few punters going at it, I might get me Sergeant's stripes back. She took them off me, you know. Ah, that's right, Mrs. Tattersall, chairman of the police committee. They caught her husband here when the place was raided last time. Arthur Tattersall, the celebrated ladies' man and gambler. She's got brothels on the brain. They caught the Bishop of Skipton as well. Of course, he was unfrocked. There's a new bishop now. Yes, Stanley, it's all quiet so far. Too quiet for my liking. Hello, hello. What have we here? No, I have not got a bottle, Stanley. Hush, for Pete's sake. My sleeve accidentally brushed a whiskey decanter. Brandy decanter. That's all. You know full well I've been on the wagon ever since the divisional Christmas party. It was just my bad luck that Mrs. Tattersall asked me to drive her home. She wasn't hurt, was she? Not seriously, only shaken up a bit. Still, I've taken the pledge. Not that I couldn't do with a drop tonight. This place gives me the willies. Squinty Smithson at the Hangman's Arms reckons it's haunted house. I know that's a load of rubbish, but all the same... My God, what's that? Hang on, it's somebody coming. I'll slip into the garden. Over and out.
there's just one snag about this place. The lease expressly forbids me to run any kind of business on the premises. Apparently, the last tenants carried on some sort of trade which offended the local sheep dippers. Don't know what it was exactly. The estate agent was rather vague about it. He knocked £50 off the rent when I started quizzing him. Anyway, the official line is that the ladies we entertain are just our guests. Okay, Ozzy? Hmm. By the way, you're not of a nervous disposition, are you?
Nervous? Me? Why?
Well, this place is supposed to be swarming with ghosts.
Oh, really?
If you believe what they say in the village, it's a supernatural cruel junction. In fact, the Bishop of Skipton was supposed to be coming along at some point to exorcise them all away. That's funny.
Eh?
Who moved that decanter?
What?
When we went upstairs, it was over there. Now, it is over here. I wonder.
Wonder what, Jimmy?
A poltergeist.
My God, what was that?
What was what?
What, that laugh?
What laugh?
That woman laughing that mad laugh.
Oh, you mean the wind.
The wind?
The wind whistling over the chimney.
No, that was no wind, that was a woman.
You're just a little rattled.
Who's rattled? I am not rattled. Come on, let's get out of here.
Good Lord, can you hear it now?
Good Lord, can't you?
No. Where is it coming from?
Upstairs.
All right, we'll go and have a look. Bring a lantern.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was the wind.
Heathcliff!
Heathcliff! What was that?
Is she off again?
No, no, no. This is another one.
Heathcliff! Heathcliff! Heathcliff!
Now, don't tell me. Don't tell me you didn't hear that.
I'd love to oblige, but I didn't hear a peep.
Where is it?
Where is what, Ozzy?
The horse.
What horse?
Somebody just arrived on a horse.
Arrived where?
In this room. There. He's standing right next to you.
I see no horse.
No, it's invisible. Oh, right, I'm clearing off. You stay here and feed your horse.
Oswald, one moment. Come back here.
No, thank you.
It's all an illusion.
An illusion?
Yes, a beautiful illusion. I am sorry, dear boy. I've been using you as a guinea pig.
What are you talking about?
My sound effects. Well, I had to try them out on somebody, didn't I? They certainly fooled you.
Sound effects?
From Wuthering Heights the Musical. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to use them on the ladies for authenticity, remember?
Jimmy Trotter, you rock!
Yes, I know. I connected the entire soundboard up to this old bell rope over here. You see? Ring once for Mad Mrs. Rochester's blood-curdling laugh, twice for Cathy Earnshaw crying out for Heathcliff, three times for the galloping horseman, and four times for the dogs.
The dogs?
Yes. They had a whole pack of man-eaters at Wuthering Heights. Nasher, Skulker, Throttle and Wolf. Just lend an ear. I'll play them for you. Here we are. I grasp this bell rope. Now, four smart tugs. One, two, three, four.
Call them off! Call them off! Get down, you blighters!
Oh, my God, it's a policeman.
Of course it isn't. Oh. It must be Godfrey Binks. So, there you are. You made it after all, did you?
Only just, mate. Only just.
We'd almost given you up.
Oh, so had I, mate. So had I.
And in uniform, too. I didn't realise you'd be coming straight off location.
Do them dogs belong to you?
Yes. But they won't harm you.
Won't harm me? I have to fight the devils off them, nearly on me throat.
Come, that's a slight exaggeration.
Exaggeration? You'd be saying next that bloody horse didn't near trample me to death.
I think you're a little highly strung.
You'd be highly strung, mate, if you'd just been set on by a pack of wild dogs and crazy horses.
How could they harm you? They're invisible.
Invisible? Yeah, don't you mess about with me.
Perhaps you'd better let me explain.
Invisible? Wait a minute. Why are you and him dressed up like somebody out of the ark?
Haven't you cottoned on yet?
Cottoned on to what?
That I'm Heathcliff.
Heathcliff?
Yes. And this is Mr. Rochester.
How do you do?
Hang on. What do you mean, Heathcliff and Rochester?
Wait! I know where I've seen you now. Weren't you in the lower depths?
Never. Blimey, is that where you've come from?
No, I've just been touring with ghosts. I don't think you'd have liked it.
No, I wouldn't.
It was diabolical.
Yes, it would be. Well, you'll have to excuse me.
What are you doing?
Hey, take your hands off me.
My dear.
No, hello. Let me go. Help! Let me out!
A disturbing thought occurs to me. I don't believe that was Godfrey Binks at all. I believe it really was a policeman.
Yes.
Still, I don't think he'll be troubling us again.
Oh.
Right, next up the hangman's arms to collect your toothbrush.
Oh, just something like this.
I possess an extremely long raincoat, known for some reason as a flasher's mac.
What about me?
You can wait outside. Come along, it's nearly closing time.
Ah, now, tiptoe slowly to the sideboard. Nobody say I didn't earn this. Oh, lovely. Make your eyes water. Oh, go on, one more for luck. Oh, all I need now is a good cigar. Hello? 309 to control. 309 to control. Do you read me? Over. Hello, Stanley. Receiving you loud but still unclear. Stanley, listen. They tried to scare me off by making out they were ghosts. Didn't take me in for 1 second. Ghosts don't drive off in a Land Rover, do they? Stanley, a little plan is starting to germinate. Two can play at being ghosts. Stanley, I intend secreting myself about these premises in the guise of a phantom. I shall take off this uniform and stow it in this oak chest which I see before me, and I shall put up... Oh, yes, there's a dust sheet here, a white dust sheet. I shall conceal myself in the wine cellar, which I know to be situated directly off this room, and make occasional sorties to ascertain the nature of the malfeasances going on in this house. I'll take this brandy decanter with me. Who knows? This night's work could win me back my stripes. I am now proceeding to remove my uniform trousers.
Get inside. Why must you always be so dithery and dobbery?
Miss Bartlett, I'm sure it isn't right to barge into private property without permission.
Of course it's right if we're lost. And who's barging? Out of my way.
Good heavens. It's like a Bluebeard's castle.
Yes. Well, just you look round for the telephone and ring up the nearest garage while I go back for...
I'm not staying here on my own.
While I go back for Dr. Malloy.
I'm not stopping here on my own.
Now, why she had to remain in the car while we wandered through the fog, I can't comprehend. She's got a bottle in her handbag, if you ask me. Or a man. Calls herself a scholar.
But Dr. Malloy is a scholar, Mrs. Ablett. She knows more about the works of the Brontes than any woman alive. Her book was an international bestseller. The Doormat, a study of the feminine subjugation syndrome in the Bronte psyche, in 2 volumes.
Sheer feminist fiddle-faddle. You know more about the Brontes than she does. At least you should do. You burn through copies of Jane Eyre like a chain smoker going through packets of 10. You can recite off great chunks of it. Now find that telephone.
No! Don't leave me!
Jane, don't be so scared of life.
Oh, what shall I tell them? At the garage?
Just tell them we're the Macclesfield Book Lovers Guild. We've been on a day trip to the Bronte Parsonage Museum and our car bumped into a wall and we're hopelessly lost. None of this would have happened if we'd gone to Beatrix Potter's cottage like I suggested.
Where shall I say we are?
Well, say we're here, of course.
Well, yes, but where are we?
Jane, I shall get annoyed in... Can't you learn to express yourself properly? It is an advantage in a school teacher. Clarity and articulacy. That is why you are an infant teacher, and I am head of the juniors. You mean the name of this place? Wait a moment. There was a name on the gatepost. Yes, that's right. Thornfield Heights.
Thornfield Heights. Oh, that's a conflation, isn't it?
It's a what?
It's a combination of Thornfield Hall, where Mr. Rochester lived, and Wuthering Heights. How strange.
Yes. Well, you find the telephone. I'm off.
Mrs. Ablett!
Well?
I can't!
Why not?
My glasses are all steamed up.
Then wipe them, girl. Use your grey matter.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure if I like this place. Oh, telephone. Now, where would they keep a telephone? Not here. No. Not here. Who knows? Or maybe they haven't got one. Some people don't believe in them. Steep steps going down. Pitch dark. Oh, no. No, I'm not going down there. I don't believe they're on the... So, wait a bit. What's this? An old bell rope. I've always wanted to pull a... Yes. Just a little pull. There. Oh, dear. Oh, God. This is our place.
Jean.
Oh, my God, that's you.
Of course it's me. Come in, Dr.
Oh,
Lorry.
Thank you.
Oh, I say, the old dark house.
Would you mind closing the door?
Let's hope they've got some booze. I'm parched.
Yes, we could all do with a cocoa. Jane, what are you whimpering about? Nothing, Mrs. Ablett. It's just that... Nothing, Mrs. Ablett.
Is something the matter, Jane?
Hysteria. No, I heard somebody. I
heard somebody? Who?
Well, somebody kind of laughing up those stairs. It sounded just like old...
Yes? Yes?
Like old mad Mrs. Rochester.
Now, isn't that typical? One whiff of Howard Parsonage and she thinks she hears mad Mrs. Rochester laughing her socks off.
I tell you, I did!
Now, don't you raise your voice to me, young lady.
I'm not young. I'm 30.
Not to worry, Jane. It's just a little spot of auto-suggestion.
Auto?
Yes. Sparked off by traipsing round that ghastly parsonage with all its grisly mementos.
Oh, you may be right, Dr. Malloy, but I really did.
What are you suggesting? You heard a ghost. And not only a ghost. No, the ghost of a fictional character. Use your grey matter, do. Her problem is she's gone on Mr. Rochester.
Mr. Rochester?
It's true. Look at her blushing. He's her ideal man.
My God, I could murder a bottle of scotch. I wonder if they keep any in this damp. Do you realize there's not a stick in this place that could have been made in the last 200 years? I say, come and have a look at this painting.
What about it?
Well, look at the title.
Self-Portrait by Cathy Earnshaw, 6th of June, 1785. Cathy Earnshaw, but sure.
Mm. And look at this one, Dr. Malloy. Mm. Come and see. Heathcliff by Cathy Earnshaw. Now, what the hell? Yes. Heathcliff and Cathy down here. And Mrs. Rochester, up there.
Jane, stop it, stop it. Your house is bad as you, Nick.
No, but there is something very wrong going on here. And speaking of rum, my radar beacon senses a wine vault not far away.
Yes, over here, I think. Yes, it's a cellar. Jane, pass me the lantern.
You never come down there.
Oh, yes, I am, dear. You can close the door if you like.
Yes, close it, Jane. There's a nasty updraft.
Well, that woman's the limit. Helping herself to other people's drink now. I don't know why we ever took her as a member.
She's a doctor of English.
From what I hear, she's a doctor of English language and lechery. If she wants a man, she takes him off the shelf as if she's in Tesco's. Now go and have a look if you can find a tin of cocoa.
But that would be helping ourselves.
Jane! Do you realise you're totally unfit for life on this planet?
Yes, Mrs. Ablett.
Well, you're back soon.
Is something the matter, Dr. Malloy?
You look as if you've seen a ghost. I'm all right.
Did you find any spirits?
Spirit?
Rum? Whiskey?
Tell me, do either of you recall in any of the Bronte books a white cowled ghost?
No. I don't think so.
One that howls and groans and waves a bottle about?
Waves a bottle about in the Brontes?
No. Never mind. Forget it.
Are you sure you're all right? You've lost a lot of your colour.
They're just hungry, that's all. Shall we look for some food? I imagine the kitchen must be through here somewhere. Along this passage, I expect. Take a look, will you, Jane?
You want me to go along that dark passage?
Take the lantern.
I don't think I'm all that hungry.
What are you scared of? Give me the lantern, I'll find the kitchen. I'm not frightened.
Well, I am. Aren't you?
Why should I be frightened?
Well, you look frightened.
Well, I'm not frightened. Yes, it's the second door on the right. A fine old kitchen range, glowing red hot, and a big basket of logs to keep it going. Such ancient pots and pans, pewter and iron and so forth. I'll put the kettle on, so if you slip along and make supper, Jane. Me.
It's all right, Jane. I'll come with you.
Yes, and I'll make the fire up in here. Well, go on, off with you. There's a horrible draught coming along that passage.
Come on, Jane. Oh. All right.
There we are. Now, a nice couple of logs and we'll soon have a pretty blaze. Logs, drastic, no logs. Of course, in the kitchen. Ah, the bell rope. Yes, that must go to the kitchen. Yes, Jane can bring them. A couple of rings should do it. There.
Heathcliff!
What's that? I beg your pardon?
Heathcliff!
What? Well, who's there?
Heathcliff! Heathcliff! Heathcliff!
God in heaven! Help! Help!
Were you calling Mrs. Ablett?
We must all stay perfectly calm.
I am perfectly calm.
But we're getting out of here. I'm not staying the night in a haunted house.
Yes. We'd be safer on the haunted moor.
Yes, we'd be... What are you talking about? You're of great help in a crisis, aren't you?
Mrs. Ablett, whereabouts did Cathy's voice come from?
How should I know? I'm not a blooming spiritualist.
It must have come from the beyond.
Jane, will you give over?
No, I mean, did it come from upstairs or down the cellar or where?
But it seemed to come from everywhere.
Everywhere?
All I know is I was poking this fire. No, I was standing by the bell rope. Yes, I was here. I just got hold of this bell rope like this. I gave two pulls. No, I think it was three, like this.
What's that? Oh, good heavens, I don't know. The phone is on.
Oh, dear. It stopped.
Quiet. Stay perfectly calm. Oh, that doorknob's turning.
Good evening to you. My name is Heathcliff. And this is my friend, Mr. Rochester.
Ozzy, for God's sake, say something.
Eh? Improvise.
Oh.
Why, in the name of all the elves of Christendom, is that you, Jane Eyre?
Jane, I think he means you.
You examine me, Miss Eyre. Do you think me handsome? Well, are you dumb?
Mercy on us, Jane, say something to him.
Good evening, sir.
You look very much puzzled, Miss Eyre. And though you are not pretty any more than I am handsome... Yet a puzzled air becomes you. Therefore, speak.
Just wait a minute.
Oh, Cathy!
Are you addressing me?
Cathy Earnshaw!
You must be mad.
Yes, mad. Mad with doubt, mad with desire. Last night I was on the threshold of hell. Tonight I am within sight of heaven. Come to me, Cathy, come.
Not on your life.
Go along with them. You've got to go along with them.
Why? Are you going along with them?
No, I'm just going along. Excuse me, gentlemen, I've got to be on my way.
Be damned, you bigotry jade, and stand where you are.
Yes, but I...
But, wait a minute. You're Nellie Dean.
No, I'm...
Yes, you're Nellie Dean, who gossiped my wretched history to the world. I have been waiting to catch up with you. Why, I'll hang you by the...
Heathcliff.
Yes, old boy? Steady on. Oh, very well.
But beware, Nellie Dean. I have got me eye on you, understand?
Yes, sir.
Say, sir.
Yes, sir.
Splendid. Now strip off, all of you.
I beg your pardon.
I want to see you all out of those clothes.
What?
Fear not, ladies. Heathcliff merely means we're supposed to be in the 18th century.
Steady on, Jimmy. You have a tiny tendency to overact, you know.
What?
You'll find very handsome period costumes in your room. White brocaded satin, black bombazine, emerald silks. There's an excellent choice of sizes.
Our room?
Yes, you're bunking together in room number 5 on the first landing. And on no account poke your noses into the first room on the left of the top of the stairs. It belongs to a certain Mrs. Rochester. Talk of the devil! Well, do you feel like turning in?
No, we feel like running out.
Silence, you wee-faced hag. Now, off to bed with you. We'll be joining you shortly.
If you try joining me, you'll get more than you bargained for.
Still the same Quicksilver Cathy, I see. One moment chill as an icicle, the next with the sweetest smile and lightest foot in the parish.
Mayhap it won't feel so light when it lands in your groin. Hmm? Come on, girls. We don't seem to have much choice.
Good night, sweet ladies.
Good night, Mr. Rochester.
Jimbo, really, I mean to say...
What?
You're going right over the top. You're scaring the wits out of them.
Nonsense. I am just giving them their money's worth. This is what the theatre is all about. This is the authentic tingle, transporting your audience into another world, another dimension.
Hello? 309 to control. 309 to control. Over and under. Hello, Stanley. Receiving you loud but slurred. Repeat, loud but slurred. Have you been drinking? Quiet, you'll be waking the house. I have just emerged from the cellar at Thornfield Heights. There's some lovely brandy down there. I haven't tasted anything like it since last Christmas. I am now proceeding about my duties to the bathroom on an urgent call of nature. I am maintaining my disguise as a ghost in case of detection. As soon as a few punters have arrived, I shall whip off this dust sheet and reveal my true identity. The women have already arrived. You can inform Mrs. Tattersall that this is definitely a drunk and disorderly house. She'll go bald, Mrs. Tattersall. Oh, just a moment, Stanley. There's someone at the front door. I'll go and hide. No, I won't. I'll go and let him in.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, don't just stand there like a tart in a trap. Step inside.
That's all right. I think I've gone to the wrong address.
I said step inside. Now, come along with me.
Come on, you let go of me.
Yeah, just come along quietly, that's right.
Well, I'll have the law on you for this. Why the hell are you dressed up like that?
I'm not the only one.
So what do you mean?
It's fancy dress night.
I believe you're tight.
That's my business. What's yours? Come on, get on with it. I've got to pay an urgent call.
All right, I'm looking for a girl.
A loose one?
Well, not as tight as you. No, right, as long as she's young and a goer, I don't mind, frankly. I've been grouse shooting all day, and now I've got a raging appetite, if you see what I mean. By the way, my name's Robinson, Jack Robinson.
No, it isn't. It's Tattersall, Arthur Tattersall, chartered auctioneer and celebrated follower of fast women and slow horses.
Oh, is that under there?
That's my business.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm catching on. You mean everybody's in disguise? The bouncers, the punters, the lot, to hide their true identity. Well, that's brilliant. That's what we should have done last time. You can never take too many precautions in a place like this. I know for a fact the local Bobby was supposed to be posted in the shrubbery tonight.
And wasn't he?
No, I made a careful recce. He'll be in the hangman's arms.
How can you be so sure?
Oh, he's a notorious booze hound. He wrapped me wife round a tree last Christmas. I said, where are you off to now?
Upstairs.
What for?
Bathroom.
Now, wait, what about my costume? Oh, damn and blast. Where do they keep the dressing up box? Well, I could wear a dust sheet like that fella, but... Oh, what have we here?
A policeman's leg hanging out of the chest. Perfect. A full police uniform. Into it, Arthur, quickly. Yes, I'll be Ernest the policeman. Trousers up. Now then, let him alone. What are you doing of? Right. On with the police trousers. Not a bad fit. I am going to write your name in my little black book. Right. Tunic. Helmet. Bundle me own things into the chest. And there we are. Ready for point duty.
I say, is somebody down there? Hello? Hello? Is somebody there? Ah, it's you. Thank goodness.
Amen.
He'd almost given you up for lost. By the way, call me Heathcliff.
Ernest, the policeman. Glad to know you.
Been shooting late, have you?
Fairly late, yes. How can you tell?
The uniform, of course.
Really? Where are the girls?
In bed.
Oh, he's splendid.
Yes, Jane Eyre, Cathy Earnshaw and Nellie Dean.
So they're all in costume as well.
Oh, naturally. And now you'd better get changed.
What? Again? What won't this do?
No. I've cast you as old Joseph.
Well, what's wrong with Ernest the policeman?
Well, I don't think he was a Bronte character, was he? No, I'm almost certain he wasn't. I've a nice costume for you, keeping warm over here in the airing cupboard. Knee breeches and so forth. Yes, here we are now. You put these on quickly, and then I'll take you upstairs and give you some bushy whiskers and a white wig.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'd better walk with an arthritic stoop.
What, do you really think so?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're the boss.
Can you manage all right?
Well, should have taken my shoes off before I took these trousers off. There, that's got them.
Good. Now the britches.
Right. Oh, by the way, what's the fee?
Just the normal equity rate.
The equity rate?
Well, I could make it a fiver more in view of your reputation.
God heavens, it isn't all that much of a reputation.
You're just being modest. But all right, the equity rate.
Fine.
I'm ashamed to say I've never actually seen you perform, but I have heard glowing reports.
About me?
Yes. I believe you were at the National last year.
The National? Oh, yes, that's right.
Pinter?
Yes, I lost my shirt. By the way, isn't that pronounced punter?
Pinter.
Are you sure?
Certain.
You know, I've always said punter.
Good Lord, have you?
Oh, dear. Right. How do I look?
Splendid. But I don't think old Joseph would wear executive-style glasses. Can you manage without them?
Just about. How's that?
Now, bend over. As though your joints were stiff.
Is that better?
Superb! Once you've got your wig and whiskers, your own wife wouldn't recognize you.
And pop the uniform in the chest.
Fine. Now, here's the drill. I take care of Cathy, Rochester takes Jane, and you take Nellie Dean, right?
Nellie Dean, is she young and juicy?
No, she's old and bony.
Old and bony? What, and still the equity rate?
As I said, I can add a fiver on.
Well, can't you knock a fiver off?
Well, if you insist.
I should say I do, old and bony indeed.
Good, that's settled then. Here comes Rochester.
Hello.
What brings you down here?
I couldn't sleep. Somebody was making the most appalling racket in the bathroom. I thought I'd come down and go through my lines.
Oswald, this is, old Joseph.
How do you do?
Glad to meet you.
I've heard a great deal about you.
You have?
Oh, yes, your reputation goes before you.
Why, who's been talking?
Everybody.
What, as far away as Bradford?
Come, you're much too modest. London, Edinburgh, New York. Your name crops up wherever a few old pros foregather and swap reminiscences.
Good Lord, does he really? you know, that's quite an accolade.
Oh, by the way, a word about the layout of the place. The first room on the left on the landing is Mrs. Rochester's.
Mrs. Rochester, couldn't I take care of her instead of the old bony one?
Oh, no. She's not there in actual fact.
She's not there?
No, she's not there at all.
She's not all there?
No, she's just a loudspeaker.
What, shouting and bawling?
No, laughing and screaming.
On second thoughts, I'll stick to Nellie Dean.
Oh, shall we go up and try your wig?
Lead on, Macduff.
Lay on, Macduff.
Oh, yes, yes, very good. Lay on, Macduff. Oh, you dirty dog.
What a very crude old man. Now then, where were we? Page two. Yes, there we are. Enter Jane Eyre. Rochester looks up with sardonically flared nostrils. Ooh, flared nostrils. No use. No, cut the nostrils. Rochester speaks. Ah, the governess. Deuce take me if I had not forgotten the governess. This house is a mere dungeon, Miss Eyre. Don't you feel it so? No, give it more oomph. Ah, the governess! Deuce take me if I have not forgotten the governess.
Yes.
What?
It's me, sir.
Oh, good Lord. Deuce take me, the governess.
I changed into the white brocade.
Ah, well, white brocade becomes you.
Sir, I ever wished to look as well as I could, and to please as much as my want of beauty would permit.
Eh? Look, where on earth are we? I'm lost.
I sometimes regret that I am not handsomer. I sometimes wish to have rosy cheeks, a straight nose, a small cherry mouth. I desire to be tall, stately, and finely developed in figure. I feel it is a misfortune that I am so little, so pale, and have features so irregular and so marked.
But, Miss Eyre, you're as sweet and fresh as the wild honey the bee gathers on the moor.
He means none of this. How could he? You a favourite with Mr. Rochester? You of importance to him in any way? Go. Your folly sickens me. Blind puppy. Listen then, Jane Eyre.
Jane, are you down there?
Don't go away! Leave me alone!
Jane! What on earth are you doing down here?
Come back to bed at once. It's 1-2 in the morning.
I said, leave me alone!
Oh, Jane, love.
Silence! Continue, Jane. Listen then, Jane,
to your sentence. Tomorrow, place the glass before you and draw in chalk your own picture, faithfully, without softening or defect. Omit no hard line. Smooth away no displeasing irregularity. Write under it, portrait of a governess. Disconnected, poor, and plain.
Jane!
Hush, don't disturb her. She's sleepwalking.
I wish that I had never been born, or never come to Thornfield.
Because you are sorry to leave it?
I grieve to leave Thornfield, but I see the necessity of departure.
I should think so.
And it is like looking on the necessity of death.
Where do you see the necessity?
Where? You, sir, have placed it before me.
In what shape?
In the shape of Miss Blanche Ingram, a noble and beautiful woman, your bride.
What bride? I have no bride.
But you will have.
Yes, I will. I will.
Then I must go. You have said it yourself.
No, you must stay. I swear it and the oath shall be kept.
I tell you, I must go.
Of course you must go. Thank heaven she's coming out of it.
Excuse me. We haven't finished the scene.
Oh! Oh, Mrs. Ablett! Why do you have to spoil everything? He was just going to propose.
Come back to bed. There's a good girl.
I tell you, I won't jump to bed.
You do as
you Leave the girl alone.
I don't want the girl.
Leave her alone. Leave her alone.
What is going on down here?
Oh, just having a little rehearsal.
What of? Armageddon? You nearly took the roof off. Oh, excuse me, ladies. Let me introduce old Joseph. You know, the faithful retainer.
Good evening. Which one is Nellie Dean?
The lady in brown.
Ah, are you joking? Mm-hmm. She's all skin and bone. Oh, come here, darling. Let me see if there's any flesh on you.
Keep away from me, you hairy old goat.
Thunder and damnation. Can't a man examine the goods? Hey!
Oh, he pinched my behind. Oh, help!
Joseph, put that woman down. Now, leave her alone.
You see, Dr. Malloy, I told you we should have gone to Beatrix Potter's cottage.
What? And been goosed by Peter Rabbit.
Oh, just give us a kiss, Nellie. Don't be a tear.
Joseph, come over here a moment.
Well?
For heaven's sake, have some finesse. You don't have to act like a dirty old man.
But I am a dirty old man.
Well, that's your private affair. Tune it down, that's all. Think of how Gielgud would tackle it.
I don't want to tackle it like Gielgud.
Wolf it?
Yes, if I can get my hands on it.
Let me show you what I mean. You can be masterful without being crude. Watch. Kathy, my angel.
Cut that out.
Don't be afraid, my sweet.
Afraid of a mere figment?
What?
You're just a feverish stray thought of a sex-starved spinster named Emily Bronte.
What?
You're no more than a ghastly side effect of premenstrual tension. A stereotyped sex object, cooked up by a bonkers old maid isolated among the Oedipal horrors of Howard Parsonage.
Listen, we don't want any of this subtext crap. I am Heathcliff Earnshaw, straight and simple, take it or leave it. Now, you stick to the storyline and stay in character.
All right, my boy. If you want Kathy, Kathy, you shall have.
Good.
But I've changed, Heathcliff. I'm warning you. And you're not going to like it.
Well, let's wait till I've seen it.
Kathy isn't a doormat for you to stamp on any more. Time moves on, Heathcliff. 200 years have passed. Women are the masters now.
Oh, God, this is nothing but a cutload of etric prop horse manure.
Call it what you like, Heathcliff, but we've turned the tables. We are the predators now, and you are the prey.
Mm-hmm.
Come here, Heathcliff.
What for?
My libido's beginning to throb like hoofbeats thundering up the straight.
Big pup.
I want you, Heathcliff. I haven't had a man for a week. I'm ravenous. Come here, you big, black, hairy-chested man.
Now then.
No, don't run away from me. I want to run my fingers through those silky mutton-chop whiskers.
Just you keep your distance.
I want to slide my tongue between those gorgeous carmine lips. Come back here.
No.
Where do you think you're going?
Good night, all. I'm off the bed.
At last. He's got the message.
No. You stay down there. Hold on to her, somebody.
No, I want you. I need you. I must have you. I'm coming for you. Heathcliff.
By George, what a goer.
Do you think you'll be all right out there? Good Lord, who's that?
There's somebody at the door.
At 2 a.m?
It could be Helen Huntingdon.
Oh, who's that? One of your lot?
The tenants of Wild Fell Hall.
Is she a goer?
Cut that out, Joseph. Go and see who it is.
Now I'm a butler. Yes?
Good evening.
Good morning.
Skull.
Skull?
Dr. Skull, the Bishop of Skipton.
Eh? Oh, nice to meet you. I'm Joseph.
Joseph.
The old family retainer at Wuthering Heights. Won't you step inside? I like your costume. Where did you have it?
It's my own.
Do you make a habit of this?
Only when it's necessary.
You're a bit late, you know. There's only Mrs. Rochester left, and she's not all there.
You mean she's started to dematerialize?
No, she hasn't materialized at all.
I see. And you are a poor soul in torment. Good heavens, what was that?
Ah, it's only Cathy Earnshaw. She's chasing Heathcliff around the upstairs passages.
Joseph, who's there?
Not to worry, it's only a pinter.
A pinter? What do you want about?
Some say Pinter, some say Punter. I tell you, it's a madhouse in here. This way, Bishop.
Heathcliff!
Help! Let go of me!
I want you!
Help.
I need you!
No, I'll cancel your subscription!
Oh, stop struggling!
There! I'm free!
Oh,
help! Help! Help me, somebody! Why are you all just standing there? Oh, who's this?
Heathcliff! Good heavens!
Oh, Lord!
Oh, who's this?
Boys and girls, the Bishop of Skipton.
The Bishop of Skipton?
Good heavens, so many ghosts under one roof. By all that's holy, this is one for Crockford's Book of Clerical Records, and I only brought holy water for two.
Just a second. On the point of clarification, are you really a bishop, or is this just what turns you on?
I am Dr. Skull of Skipton.
Well, you sound cracked to me.
That will do, Joseph. Bishop, I give you my word as a ghost, there are no gentlemen on these premises. I mean the other way round.
Oh, do you? Then how do you explain this awful apparition gliding down the stairs?
Good grief, I don't believe it. A Carmelite friar.
Sprinkle it, quickly, sprinkle it.
Oh, why is it marching up and down? It's searching.
Help! Oh, don't let it get me. Oh, you have it, go down to that chair. It's a monk, not a mouse.
Stand still. What is it you seek, oh poor restless soul?
Spirit!
Yes, it's seeking its fellow spirits. But they are all about you. Are you blind?
Nobody's well on the way.
Stop, stop! Where is it going now? Where does that door lead?
The wine vault.
Oh, come on up to bed, girls.
Yes, come in, Mrs. Ablett. Yes, Mrs. Ablett.
Just stand where you are. Don't imagine you can escape the purifying flame.
You keep away from us or I'll stick one on you. And I don't mean with stamp engines.
There speaks the voice of the evil one.
Call yourself an exorcist. I've put more faith in a smith's gun.
I'm warning you. I shall seek you out and I shall disperse you to the winds.
Judging by what I've seen so far, you couldn't disperse a smoke ring in a gale. Come on, girls.
Yes, and I think we'll join them. Come along, I'll say. And we'd better lock and bolt our bedroom door tonight. We don't want you-know-who creeping in to finish me off.
Locks and bolts will not protect you from the purifying flame.
I'm not afraid of the purifying flame. I'm afraid of Cathy Earnshaw. Good night, Bishop. Happy spook bashing.
Yes. Good night, Bishop. Well, I'll catch up again.
I say.
God, how you frightened me. What are you on?
Well, I thought I'd better hang about and put you on the right rails.
I beg your pardon.
History is repeating itself tonight in a strange way.
To what are you alluding?
Your predecessor was caught here in exactly the same circumstances.
My predecessor?
He was on front.
Look here. What are you labouring to convey? Now, wait a moment. Are you suggesting that this place is...
white.
No. Oh, this is the evil one talking again. I know your tricks and snares, and I shall not be shaken. It is the evil one, is it not?
It is not.
But the Carmelite friar...
A drunken bouncer, my lord.
And you?
A pinter, my lord.
A pinter?
A lecherous auctioneer.
Good heavens, our language has a word for everything.
I suggest you disguise yourself, my lord.
Disguise myself?
This place is under police surveillance at this very moment.
It is. But what's that to me? I'm here on an errand of purification.
So was your predecessor. Mm-hmm. He stood up in court and pleaded his innocence most eloquently. Oh. But so did half the Chamber of Commerce. Now, I have here just the costume for you.
What? Do you think a bishop would stoop to such a deception? What costume?
Police uniform.
I refuse.
I expect a knock on this door at any moment.
Where's that uniform?
Well, there you are now. Quick about it. There's no time to lose. Up with those gates.
No.
Do you need Anne?
Thank you.
You take me for a black-hearted sinner just because I give my custom to establishments like this. Well, in a way, you're right. To put it delicately, I suppose I've had more jam tarts than you've had curate eggs. But don't blame me. Blame my wife.
Well, if she's proud of her pastry... Right. I'm undressed. Hand me that tunic.
There you are. No, I mean it was she who drove me into the beds of other women. Oh, talk about frigid. To tell the truth, my lord, she hasn't been defrosted since the night she was deflowered. Yes, the bridal night. Well, very well. Maybe it was my fault.
Trousers, please.
And just remember this, my lord. It was my first time as well. And the sight of her. So young. So slender. So soft and pink from her perfume. But, well, I'm sorry to say that in my youthful enthusiasm, I gave her a severe shock.
Trousers, please.
And she hasn't got over it to this day. But if only she'd let me wipe out that dreadful memory and try again with all the benefit of my experience, I could take her to paradise because I'm as smooth as satin and as strong as a stallion, my lord. if only she knew what she was missing. The Fritz Kreisler of the bedroom cadenza.
Where are the trousers?
Trousers?
Yes, the police trousers. I can't walk about in a police helmet and tunic and no confounded trousers. Now, can I? Oh, good heavens, the police.
Oh, Lord, I think you're right.
But what can I do?
Yeah, upstairs at the double. Go on, get up them stairs. Oh, well, don't open the door, they'll break it down. All right, I'm coming.
So there you are.
Oh, my Godwin Sands Lighthouse.
I beg your pardon?
The Godwin Sands Lighthouse. It's what we need in this fog. It's a lighthouse.
Have you been drinking? Well, don't just stand there. Let me in. Where are those women? Tell them Mrs. Tattersall is here. Did you hear what I said? Mrs. Tattersall, the chairman of the police committee.
Oh.
What's the matter? Are you totally senile? At least have the courtesy to look me in the face. I said, look me in the face when I talk to you. I've seen you somewhere before. Didn't I used to bring you meals on wheels? Oh, this is horrible. An old man of 90 you must be. Cavorting as a commissionaire in a seraglio. Your mind should be on higher things. You belong in a twilight home, not a bawdy house. Oh, where are the rest of them? In bed, I suppose.
Nobody here, madam. Nobody here, madam.
Yes, a likely tale. I know for a fact my husband's here. I can smell him.
Nobody of that description on the premises.
What description? I didn't give one. You're protecting him, aren't you? I suppose you think he's a very sporty fellow. Well, you don't have to put up with his eternal whoring and gambling and crunching.
Crunching?
Crunching his toast at the breakfast table. It drives me mad.
Well, you could have said something.
Now, what have we here?
Oh, I've been looking for those.
A pair of trousers.
I'll just take them off your hands.
No, you won't. These are evidence. That's strange. I recognize these. Heavy black serge. Yes. I ordered 500 pairs of these just a few weeks ago. Oh. These are police trousers. There's a trouserless policeman here somewhere. Oh. Good heavens, what next? Wait, what have we here? A pair of gaiters. Gaiters? And what's this? An apron. An ecclesiastical apron. Oh. Police trousers, bishop's gaiters. This is all starting to resemble a liquidation sale by a costume rental firm. Now, wait a minute.
Look, I wouldn't go jump into conclusions.
There's a loose policeman at large and a lecherous bishop. Now, where are they? And where are the women?
There are no women. This is an empty house. Look, cobwebs, dust sheets.
Then what are you doing here?
Just a spot of caretaking to spin out the old age pension.
Enclosed at the Regency, peerage. You're a worse liar than my husband. Oh, just wasting me breath. Those women are up there, entertaining their clients. I remember now from the trial. The customer pulled that bell rope, didn't he? And the madam came down to take his order. Well, just let's try ringing it. Just a moment. Where do you think you're sloping off to? Come over here.
What for?
I want to keep an eye on you while I give a ring on this bell. Very well. There. So there are no women present. All right. I'm going to count up to three, and if that madam isn't down here by then, I'll be up there. Very well. I'm going up.
You'll need a lantern.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
No, you wouldn't be. Oh, now who is it?
It's only me.
Oh, that's all I need. The drunken monk.
I am not drunk, Mr. Tattersall. I heard everything and it sobered me up. This is terrible, Mr. Tattersall.
It couldn't be worse. By the way, who is that under there?
A police officer.
I was wrong. It is worse. All right, you can slip on the bracelets. It's a fair cop.
I'm not arresting you, sir. I'm on your side. With your wife on the rampage, we've all got to stick together. First of all, I'd better get back into uniform.
You'll have a job.
If she whips this sheet off and finds me underneath, she'll... What do you mean, I'll have a job?
Your uniform's gone.
Gone?
My wife took the trousers and the bishop took the rest. Yeah, you could try the bishop's thingamajigs. She didn't take those.
Dressed as a bishop? Wouldn't that count as blasphemy?
No, a bishop dressing as a policeman cancels that out.
I hope you're right. I've committed enough crimes in the course of this investigation.
What crimes?
Breaking and entering. Theft of brandy.
No, on your head. Those are gaiters.
Oh.
They go on your legs.
Oh, right, I'm with you. And when I started out tonight, I thought I was going to win me stripes back for this exploit. I'll be lucky if I hang on to me pension. There. How do I look?
Almost. Wholly.
What, wholly ridiculous?
No, just partly. I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me.
Why, where are you going?
I really can't stand much more of this. I need a good stiff one. I take it there is some left down here.
Yes, plenty, but wait.
I just can't.
God, forgive me. God, forgive me.
Oh, heck.
Oh, but what else could one do? It was me or her. It was the church versus the... Oh, I do beg your pardon, Bishop. One moment, though. Pray, what are you doing in a part of my diocese?
Pray, what are you doing in a part of my uniform?
Your uniform? Then you're a policeman. What are you doing in my vestments? Take them off. Here, put your own on.
What? When you've mislaid the trousers, what sort of bargain is that? I'll stay as I am.
Impersonating a bishop is a gross breach of canon law, especially for a policeman.
Impersonating a policeman is twice as gross, especially for a bishop, especially when Mrs. Tattersall's on the loose.
Mrs. Tattersall is not on the loose. Oh, Lord, I've a terrible confession to make.
Sure we all, but carry on.
I've locked her up.
Mrs. Tattersall?
Yes, I hung about in the passage up there, freezing and trouserless. Then I heard her enter the house. I heard her discover my gaiters and demand to see the bishop. I heard her mounting the stairs like the hound of heaven. I was the quarry. I was in despair. At the top of the stairs, she turned sharp left and flung open the first door she came to. It was pitch dark inside. I had a sudden wicked impulse. I succumbed to it. I ran up behind and pushed her inside that dark room. I slammed the door. There was a key on the outside. I turned it and locked her in. Oh, I must go. I must go and leave this accursed house.
Not so fast. You want to get torn to pieces?
Torn to pieces?
This house is ringed by a pack of ravening bull mastiffs.
I don't believe you.
I've seen them with my own eyes. They're as big as Shetland ponies.
Oh, but what am I to do? I mustn't be found like this.
There's always this dust sheet.
A dust sheet?
You could be the ghost.
Are you suggesting that the Bishop of Skipton should imitate the ghost he came here to exorcise?
Quick, there's somebody coming. Get that sheet on.
Oh, very well. Fling the flaming thing over me.
Oh, no. Not a minute longer will I stay in this ghost-infested... Oh, Bishop.
Yes, madam.
What? Do you mean to say you haven't exorcised him yet? Call yourself a bishop. Wait, you're a different bishop. Where's the first one?
What? Oh, called away.
In the middle of the night? Where to?
An emergency synod.
Well, I'm leaving. So much I can put up with. But when Mrs. Rochester starts hammering on her door and demanding to be let out, that's me finished. I'm off. I'd rather be carried away by werewolves on the moor.
Werewolves? Is that what they are?
What are?
Those gigantic dogs ringing this mansion.
Gigantic dogs?
Yes, those ravening dogs that leap at your jugular the second you step outside.
All right, I'll stay. But this ghost has got to go. Well, what are you waiting for? Say the words.
What words?
And make him vanish.
Well, that's not so easy, you know.
Just say the words.
Oh, all right, no need to shout. Let's see. Umpa, umpa.
Umpa, umpa.
Shh. Abracadabra, shazam. Kalamazoo. Wrap him in a rug, put him in a jug. Glug, glug, down the plug. See, it doesn't always work.
Of course it doesn't work, you don't. I've heard better incantations in a school playground. Give me that holy water. I'm going to sprinkle him and have done.
Madam, if you sprinkle me, you'll find I'm surprisingly prone to go off the deep end.
Yes, there's Pete, the true voice of Satan.
Right, that's it.
No, just calm down, nothing physical.
I'm going to murder this sanctimonious superannuated call girl.
Oh, you'd best be off to your bed, madam. I think he means business.
I'm not frightened of him.
Oh, aren't you? We'll see about that. Oh, good heavens, what am I doing?
All right, boys, I've made up my mind. To blazing with Nelly Dean.
Wait, where are you going?
To have Mrs. Rochester.
At least she likes a good laugh.
Now, just one moment, Mr. Tattersall. There's been a slight complication.
To blazes with complications.
Yes, but your wife...
To blazes with my wife.
But wait!
To blazes with waiting. I've been waiting all night. If I wait any longer, I'll go off like a fireworks factory.
Have you been drinking?
Just enough to put me on top form. Just one bottle of champagne. Just enough to bring me to my barnstorming pinnacle. I'll see you two later. Look out, Mrs. Rochester! Here comes Arthur!
Did he say champagne?
Yes, down the cellar.
Oh, I normally don't, but I suddenly feel like a little pick-me-up.
Follow me!
Be my guest, Bishop! Oh, this way!
Hello. Ahoy there. Anybody down here?
Good heavens, who's that?
It's only me, Mr. Rochester.
Jane! Couldn't you sleep?
I don't think so. And yet I seem to be dreaming.
You're shivering. Here, let me stir the fire.
I can't believe all this is happening to me, Mr. Rochester.
What page are we on?
I believe I've entered paradise.
Oh, the big love scene.
I hope so, sir.
Yes, all right. Now, before you say another word, slip those glasses off. Now, unpin your hair. Now, shake it loose. Beautiful. Oh, Jane, how my heart has knocked and knocked at the door of this moment.
No, sir. Release me. I must go.
And I say you must remain.
And I tell you I must go. Do you think I can stay to become nothing to you?
Don't struggle so like a wild, frantic bird that is rending its own plumage in its desperation.
I am no bird, sir, and no net ensnares me. I am a free human being with an independent will, which I now exert to leave you.
And your will shall decide your destiny. Jane, I offer you my heart, my hand, and a share of all my possessions.
You play a farce, which I merely laugh at.
I'm asking you to pass through life at my side, to be my second self and best earthly companion.
No. For that fate you have already made your choice and must abide by it.
Jane, what are you saying?
That your wife stands between us.
My wife?
That poor mad creature, caged in her upper chamber.
Mrs. Rochester?
Mrs. Rochester, yes.
But she isn't here.
No. She's upstairs. I heard her moaning and sobbing and thrashing about on the floor.
Moaning and groaning and thrashing about where?
In the first room on the left at the top of the stairs.
But Jane, that room is empty.
No? Listen. There. Now do you deny it?
But I don't understand. Nobody pulled the bell rope.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh. You keep away. Help! Get your hands off me. Oswald! Rochester! Help! There you are.
Jimmy, what's the matter?
You left my bedroom door open. That's what's the matter. That woman was in there like a shot.
In your room?
In my bed.
Mrs. Rochester?
Mrs. Rochester, what are you raving about? Kathy Earnshaw.
Heathcliff!
Oh, no. Look out.
Heathcliff!
Just keep your distance. Save your insane lusts for the men of Leamington Spa.
Oh, so, it's just as I thought. Another academic mystery is cracked by Dr. Cathy Molloy. Women are not exactly your cup of tea, are they, Heathcliff?
No, my girl, they certainly are not. If you must have the truth, I am of the opposite persuasion.
Quite.
And proud of it.
And why not? So why keep it dark for 200 years?
Good heavens, do you not never sleep? Will this blessed night never come to an end?
It is coming to an end, Mrs. Ablett, look. Streaks of grey light are edging the window curtain. Dawn is approaching.
Well, what are you all carrying on about now?
I'm just confirming a theory I have long cherished, Mrs. Ablett. To wit, that every last demon lover of literature was a closet homosexual, masquerading as a transcendental ram.
Transcendental ram? Oh, is somebody paging me?
Joseph, you look an absolute wreck.
I am an absolute wreck. Flaming Hades, what a night.
You can say that again.
Flaming Hades, what a night. I tell you that, Mrs. Rochester's a rotted fizzer. No, she's more than that. She's a very remarkable woman. She's what I've been in training for all these years, an Olympic scandal lover. Now I have to face my wife and pay the price. But by the roast, it was worth it. Where is Mrs. Tattersall?
Mrs. Tattersall? The police committee lady?
That's right. Where is she?
Oh, she hasn't been here, thank God.
Hasn't been here?
No! Oh, that would have been a good one. She'd have had us all in quad by now. Hello? Do I hear carol singers?
What is the meaning of this unspeakable outrage? A bishop? A bishop doing an actual song and dance with the assembled company of a... wait a moment, though. You're no bishop, I know that face. Why, you're...
Yes, Mrs. Tattersall. P.C. Fanshawe, Mrs. Tattersall. You're a little towzled, Mrs. Tattersall.
Shut up. I'll deal with you later. And who is this person draped in a dust sheet? Yes, I mean you. Don't flap your filthy folds at me, it won't wash. Now come, who is it under there?
The Bishop of Skipton.
Dr. Scott?
Yes, I believe we met at my installation.
None of this comes as a surprise to me. The world today is a moral minefield. Well, what are you waiting for, Constable?
Pardon?
Arrest all these impostors, starting with yourself.
Well, I can't do that, Mrs. Tattersall.
Why not, please?
Despite considerable evidence to the contrary, madam, there's only been one copper-bottom case of concupiscence under these rafters during this memorable night. And as that took place between man and wife, there's been no law broken.
Man and wife? What man and wife?
Yourself, madam, and this heavily bearded gent.
I beg your pardon.
And so do I.
Take off those whiskers, Mr. Tattersall. Come clean, sir, you won't regret it. There.
Arthur. Do you mean to tell me that was you?
What? And that was you?
Well, I know it was me.
And I was there too.
So it must have been us. Arthur.
Daphne.
Oh, Arthur. I think I'm seeing things. We're all seeing things. No, in a dazzling new light. Oh, golden rainbows and silver.
Mrs. Tattersall?
Yes, Fanshawe.
Would it be too much to hope those three stripes of mine?
Can you have them back?
Yes.
Certainly not.
Oh, okay.
But you can sew on your inspector's pips.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Inspector's pips. How wonderful.
You can apprehend me any time.
Oh, yeah. And now you can all carry on with your little sing-song. Oh, now, can anybody play the piano? You, Bishop?
Oh, rather.
Oh, good. Come on, everybody. Show me the way to go home.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Come on, dear.
Come on. Where to?
Where do you think? Upstairs. What are you waiting for?
I'm coming.
I'll see. Go and see who that is at the door.
Where are Jimmy?
Jimmy!
Yes,
old fellow, what is it?
You'll never believe who's turned up.
Well?
Have a guess.
Dombey and Son?
Godfrey Binks.
Godfrey Binks?
Yes. And the ladies of the Leamington Spa Literary Circle.
The Leamington Spa... Hold on. And who are this lot? Oh, my God, Oswald, no. You don't mean to say they're all...
Yes. Ghosts, Jimmy. Ghosts.
Show me the way to go home.
In Dithering Heights, Jimmy Trotter was played by Aubrey Woods, Oswald by Nigel Anthony, and PC Fanshawe by Sam Kelly. Mrs. Ablett was Meg Johnson, Jane Joanne Zorian, and Dr. Malloy Bonnie Hurran. Arthur Tattersall was played by Ronald Baddeley, Dr. Skull by Ronald Herdman, and Mrs. Tattersall by Heather Stoney. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The play was written by Ken Whitmore and produced in Manchester by Alfred Bradley.